This is a HeadGum Original.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
In the lands of Middle-earth, legend tells of the Dark Lord Sauron and the ring that would give him the power to enslave the world. Lost for centuries, it has been sought by many and has now found its way into the hands of the most unlikely person imaginable. Sauron needs only this ring to cover all the lands in darkness.
What must I do?
The ring must be destroyed.
The ring must be cast back into the fires of Mount Doom.
There is evil there that does not sleep.
Sauron's forces are already moving. They will find the ring and kill the one who carries it.
No!
Frodo!
Come on, Frodo!
I cannot do this alone.
You have my sword.
And you have my bow.
And my axe.
This task was appointed to you, and if you do not find a way, no one will.
The enemy has many spies, birds, beasts.
Something draws near. I can feel it.
Get off the road!
Hide!
You must remember, Frodo, the ring is trying to get back to its master. It wants to be found.
We must turn back!
No!
Wish the ring had never come to me.
Back, you devil!
Wish none of this had happened.
You will find your courage.
If you want him, come and claim him.
Rolling zoom on Fellowship of the Ring. Thou shalt have my wave file.
Oh, no.
And my axe.
Oh, no. We are so fucked.
Okay. Yes, you are.
Oh boy, wow, I'm Nicole Byer.
And I'm Lauren Lapkus.
And this is the new season of Newcomers, where we're now covering Lord of the Rings, and my God.
I don't know how this happened, okay? I think there was a series we were both fighting for that didn't come to fruition. And maybe we'll save it, because maybe it'll be season 3. I don't know. Maybe we'll get lucky. But we did end up having to do Lord of the Rings. It's definitely, it's a next logical step. I think people were thinking, if you haven't seen that, you got to see that. We did all of Star Wars for the first season of this podcast.
So much Star Wars stuff. And have I retained it? No.
See, okay, I think we say we don't know anything about it, but there are these points where we get quizzed or where someone mentions something. And I do think we have retained more than we realize. But that said, it's not like we became super fans. We just became more knowledgeable and we got a lot of merch.
Mm-hmm. We got lots and lots of merch. But okay, so on this season, same thing. We're going to have people who love Lord of the Rings talk to us about why they like this. And okay, so Lord of the Rings came out in the 2000s.
Yeah, we're going to start there because there are some there's older movies and people, it's kind of the Star Wars debate of where do you begin with watching? Do you go in order of chronological like release or is it like the ones people like more? So we started with this trilogy. I don't really know what the difference is, but this one came out in the 2000s and we will also be watching all of the Hobbit movies. We'll be revisiting fan fiction, of course, which I already feel like we're going to crush.
I think so.
Maybe we'll even read a chapter of a children's book. I mean, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yes. And if you want to watch Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring, it's available to rent on Amazon Prime and it's on HBO Max.
Okay. So.
So wait. Should we? Okay. So Lord of the Rings is based on J.R.R. What does that stand for? Tolkien's trilogy of novels, also called The Lord of the Rings. It was published in 1954 and in 1955. And the film trilogy mirrors the books. And the order is The Fellowship of the Rings, The Two Towers, and then The Return of the King. Who's the king?
I didn't know that the books were written in the 50s. That's interesting. And me I don't either. Know what JRR stands for either. So maybe we'll learn that today.
Maybe it's Jerry Roger Roy Tolkien.
Maybe it's Junior Robert Robert. And we are so excited about our guest today. And he's going to probably clear up a lot of stuff for us. I hope he knows what he's talking about. He is an actor, writer, and comedian. You know him from his podcasts, High and Mighty, Raised by TV, Comedy Bang Bang. He was on Guy Code and much more. It's John Gabris.
Hey. Oh, shit. I'm a nervous wreck right now.
Oh, my God. So what are you feeling?
Yeah. How are you feeling right now?
I'm feeling great. I watched it on 2 days ago. And then last night, I wanted to watch Two Towers because I was so hooked. I wanted to go through the trilogy again, but I was worried I'd be too confused for this interview.
Mike and I watched it last night. If you're new here, that's my husband's name. And he loves Lord of the Rings. And the second we were done, he wanted to put on the next one. And And I know your roommate, John Millheiser, right? Was also equally intense.
Yes. And the man I live with love Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm.
And they love it.
Me and my wife, a woman who I live with, are both obsessed with Lord of the Rings.
Really? It's so bonkers.
It's so good. We have a really cute story. For Valentine's Day, like 10 years ago or so, we were like, didn't really have plans. It was a Friday. And we were like, let's just do something fly by the seat of our pants. And we went out and got like day drunk and then came home and put on Fellowship of the Ring. And then Saturday we watched Two Towers. And then Sunday we watched Return of the King. And it was a Valentine's Day weekend. And we talk about it as one of our favorite weekends we've ever had.
That's very cute.
That's cute because you both like it.
Yes. Yeah.
It would be worse if you were just forcing her to watch this.
I'm not an expert by any means. I'm just a diehard fan, which I should say this time because after doing the Star Wars one, I got roasted pretty hard because you were like, do we ever meet Luke and Leia's mom? And I'm like, I don't think so. And then it is Natalie Portman is technically the mom.
Did people come for you?
People come for me on Twitter like once a month.
Really?
And every time I respond to one of these fucking losers, like, okay. Okay, sick, dude. Next time you can guest on the podcast.
They're probably like, yes, please.
Wait, who gave you your first Lord of the Ring book? Was this like a school? Were you in school?
I was in school as a child, but no, I read this on my own. I chose to read Lord of the Rings.
Were your brothers into it at all? Or like, was there any influence? This was just something you found?
No, I'm the oldest. And so, and also I'm like the oldest brother where I brought my cool taste to my younger brothers, and they were like, what the fuck is it? I'm like, you guys should read The Cimmerillion. It's actually a J.R. And they're like, shut up. We smoke cigarettes, you fucking loser. So my, I think it was because I played D&D as a young kid, and D&D, like the world of D&D, the races in D&D. And in hindsight, now that I'm an adult man who's lived through the world, it's like, considering how the races are, yes, they're hobbits, there's dwarves, there's elves, they're humans. Yes, they are all white. And there's no, but they're four very different races, and they're all white, though, so you can still enjoy this. It's so fucked up 1950s. It's European, that's the problem, is that, like, that world of fantasy, the Arthurian
but
fantasy.
But does
like,
it say that everyone is white?
That's
or
what
is
I was
that just
ask.
The choice that was made?
They mention their skin tones and stuff like that, but they never say like, and also this hobbit is, you know, got more melanin than the other hobbits. Like that, that never comes up.
Okay.
And that's just, I feel like that's a lot of that's on myopic writing on behalf of like a white writer who's just like, I'm writing these characters in my head. Mm-hmm. Since I'm writing them, they look like me, except they're short with hairy feet.
He might look like that.
Yeah, he could. That's people mock fantasy and sci-fi for that shit too, where it's like, you know, like Star Wars, you go into the bar and there's like an elephant man and a rhino and like all this, and then it's like a one black dude, and it's like okay, so there's millions of people who are green and one black guy. Okay.
I laughed a lot during this movie. Did you? It's not supposed to be funny, though.
I laughed. I had a few moments where I laughed. I think we had one moment where we both really thought was hilarious, which is the part where those two wizards were like,
yes,
fighting.
Where they spin Gandalf around on his head and then send him to space. When I tell you, I couldn't stop laughing. I truly couldn't stop laughing. I made John rewind it so I could watch it again. I might watch it again today. It was so funny.
That part was really funny.
Yeah, it's like futuristic breakdancing. They're just shooting each other around and shit.
Now, do we want to try to like say what we thought the movie was about?
Ooh,
before
okay.
we read the plot? Because like, I think we probably only took like a third of what was supposed to be
yes.
gleaned.
Knowing you guys as people and knowing your attention spans, especially to things that you don't like love, that you aren't passionate about, which is assorted reality shows. I'm watching this. I'm like, I've seen this movie. I've read these books, and it's boring. It's a little homeworky, but that's what a lot like, because it's a very pure adaptation, which is what I think a lot of people like about it, which lends itself to be a little bit boring. And I can understand. And because it's all proper nouns and long words and shit like that. Not long words like you guys have, but like, you know, Galadriel, the elven queen, this like Aragorn, son of Arathorn, he is called Elisar, you know, like all this shit.
You
you're
just
like,
said so many words that I didn't even recognize. And did they have, but those were said in the first movie?
I'm pretty sure they're all in the movie at some point.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I didn't catch those guys.
But yes, tell me what you think the movie's about, guys.
Okay, so it starts with the sort of backstory about the rings and how there are these five rings, seven, five rings, and
nine.
Oh my God, Mike is groaning. You can't watch me record the podcast. This is a judgment-free zone. Oh my God. Okay.
Mike, go watch basketball on your phone in the bathroom, you fucking loser. There's a lot of rings, yes.
Do you know how many there are?
No, but there's like nine for the humans, five for the dwarves, three for the out. Like there's like,
oh,
okay. So okay. Anyways, but there's one ring that controls the evil of all the rings.
Yeah. And then this like evil man is like trying to stomp on everybody. And then there's like a war of like darkness. And then like somebody cuts the ring off his like nasty little thingy. And then he becomes this like fiery vagina hole. And then we go to Bobo Baggins' party. What's his name? Bilbo?
Yes, and Bilbo is
Bilbo.
Bilbo.
It's dildo with B's instead of D's. That's how you remember it. It's
dildo Bilbo.
Bilbo is turning 111th birthday. Okay, he's right. Mm-hmm. Mike's shaking his head. How is that wrong?
It's his 11th.
Don't
shut up. Back off.
Don't worry about him.
It's his 11th.
I can't with you right now. So then he has a birthday and he decides that he is going to, because the ring makes him not age. And so he's like, I'm going to give up the ring and I'm going to leave.
Uh-huh.
And Frodo basically is the one who the ring is given to.
But then Gandalf is there and Gandalf is big and he's a wizard and he like wears a hat. He comes in on a carriage and Frodo is like, tee hee hee. It reminded me of Back to the Future because I was like, how the fuck are these two friends? And then.
Wait, by the way, if this is the pace that you guys are going to go through the plot, I have to call in sick tomorrow to work. We have 2 hours and 45 minutes left.
Okay. But okay, I like the part with where Gandalf like put the little fireworks show on for the little kids.
Uh-huh.
That was so cute. Okay, so
yes, that was awesome.
Cute.
Okay, so Frodo gets the ring and it's kind of a bad problem because the ring connects to all these evil people who really want the ring. And because they get a lot of power. And then he is kind of on a mission to get rid of the ring, right?
He's got to bring the ring to Moldova?
Mordor.
What? Pedora?
Mordor.
Mordor. You gotta go to Mordor. So he gets a gremlin. No, wait, a dwarf, a fairy,
a hot man
who's gonna be bad, and then his three little hobbit friends, one of which I think is in love with him, Sam, and he can't swim at one point. And
oh my god, that part
Sam,
was crazy.
It was nuts. It was like, you can't swim. And he's like, I'm gonna jump in anyway. And I was like, you bitch, what the fuck? His dick ain't that good.
But I thought he might die, and I thought it was gonna be one of those things like where we discover that like an important character dies in the first movie, but no.
But Gandhi does die. He falls
that
in that
part
hole.
Was horrible.
I was pretty upset about that.
That part was genuinely sad. I really liked Gandalf, and I felt like there was a lot. The things I liked about the movie were some of the magic, and then I liked that they had like these sort of big like life lessons that were being imparted a couple times, and they were kind of emotional. And like at the end,
there
you
was
didn't
life
catch
lessons.
Them? Okay,
no.
Okay. Well, at the end, what's his name? Frodo was like something about the ring, and he was like, "I wish everything didn't go this way."
Oh yeah. And then Gandalf was like, "It has to go this way, so you can fucking do it."
Yes. And so I thought that was really good. I was like, "Yep, we all wish that about stuff."
Anytime Frodo almost dies, it was so funny because it was like in slow motion, like him being like, and then every time they picked up Frodo, I laughed really hard. It was really, he's so small.
Me too. Why are they picking him up? Doesn't that seem rude?
They infantilize the hobbits so much, like when they're like hugging them or carrying them. It's really funny, but it is like a stark reminder that they are 3 feet tall. You know what I mean?
This was something that I found really confusing about the movie, just thinking about how it was made, was like, how are they shooting the scene where this guy's 15 feet tall, this guy's 3 feet tall, but they're all... average sized people in real life. So like, how are they making them look like this? And did everybody shoot like separately?
Peter Jackson is very talented. I know a lot of it was shot with forced perspective, like putting Gandalf closer to the camera than Frodo. Yeah. And also building sets that are different sizes on different sides. Mm-hmm. So when it goes to Gandalf, he seems like he's crunched up under the ceiling. But when they pan to the right to Frodo, the ceiling is... But really, that ceiling is way high. Like, the construction is off.
Mm-hmm.
So that the sets make Gandalf look bigger. And the
that
sets
is
make...
cool.
Yeah, yeah.
So wait, how did they walk around the forest without shoes on?
There's some lore around all of the magical races in this, and I can help you guys run through a lot of that stuff, because this is where I am informed. Hobbits never wear shoes. Their feet are tough enough like leather from never wearing shoes from birth. And it's because they like nature and that they're very easygoing people. So they just like hang out, fish, go run through the farm, hang out. Mm-hmm. Like they like drinking, eating. There's a lot of jokes in this movie that hobbits have an insane appetite. They eat like 9 meals a day. They're about the finer things in life. And then that's why there's this extra layer of how big of a hero Frodo is, because hobbits don't even do stuff like this. The only other hobbit that's ever went on a big adventure is Bilbo.
Ah.
I think that's why you guys were wondering about like what the order to do is, because The Hobbit technically takes place before all this. The Hobbit
and Hobbit's about Bilbo.
Bilbo and a dozen dwarves that go on this mission that end up getting the ring as part of the, not as part of what's going on. The ring is like secondary to what happens there.
Oh.
I was in The Hobbit, the play, when I was in fifth grade.
Oh.
That is so cute. I would, that is Patreon content. I'll go fucking, I'll go top tier for some shit for that.
I do have some pictures. I was a troll.
Oh, the trolls are, Bilbo tells that story at his party. He's like, and then the trolls talked till the sun came up and they turned to stone. That's from The Hobbit. And then later on when, Frodo is poisoned and they're looking for, the weed, you see that there's three big frozen stone trolls there. That's the trolls from The Hobbit.
So we're going to have a lot of moments, I guess, where we're like, oh, now that makes sense. Uh-huh. It's kind of like watching 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, 7, 8, 9 or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, which is how I casually speak of Star Wars now.
That's one of the rare instances, besides like knowing some more about Gandalf and knowing some more about how elves and dwarves get along. Mm-hmm. That's all you really get from The Hobbit. The Fellowship is the Lord of the Rings trilogy. This trilogy you guys are doing first really can stand alone. Everything else is just a little extra gravy or flavoring if you know that shit.
Mm. Well, I feel like we should read through the plot so that we get it right, so that people who are listening to this have that info. So it starts with the party, as we mentioned. We begin in the Shire at Bilbo Baggins's, what is it, 11th birthday?
Yeah, his 110th birthday, I think.
111th birthday, get it right. Gandalf suspects Bilbo's magic ring may be the One Ring and entrusts it to Frodo. Gandalf tells Frodo to leave the Shire immediately with the ring, and Frodo is accompanied by his friend Samwise Gamgee.
Didn't even clock that his name was Samwise Gamgee.
Me neither. I thought it was Sam.
All the Hobbits' names are short. Like Merry and Pippin are like Peregrine Took and Meriadoc something. You know what I mean?
Cute.
Oh.
I will say, when I first saw this movie in the early 2000s, whenever it came out, I was in college, I thought this movie was the gayest movie I've ever
it's
seen.
It's pretty gay.
There's definitely a vibe between those two characters.
Yes.
And again, I'm like, that was me when I was 19 years old. So now I'm like, this is just like male friendship, love, all this stuff. But there are moments because they have such, they're so cute and like in their size and stuff. They have these moments where they're like looking at each other like, and in the third movie, there's like some serious, like, this might as well be like Titanic. But so get pumped for that.
I am excited because this movie did not have romance.
There was one kiss.
There was a kiss
between the elf and the human.
Yes.
I also thought was messed up that she was gonna be immortal, like be mortal. I didn't understand why she would do that. She loves him so much, but it was like, this is a bad idea. I don't know.
It's all very confusing. Also,
if you could be immortal, would you?
No. No, I'm already tired. To live forever? My God, I mean, I'd be true. So mad.
But I guess my thought is I would be immortal if also the world was magical.
Yes.
Like, I don't want to live here.
If you had like a magical forest castle that you could live in and and have a young fucking Aragorn living
who's
with you.
Aragorn?
The brunette. The guy from History of Violence from everything. Viggo Mortensen.
Oh, yeah. He's a daddy. He was cute.
Yeah.
He's very hot. Always, yes. And he's particularly hot in this movie.
He looks so good. His nasty hair, his beautiful eyes. So Gandalf rides to, Isengard to meet up with Sauron, the white.
Saruman. This is where it gets a little confusing.
Saruman the white.
Is Saruman the white the one with the long, straight white hair?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
But it's like, we don't have to call her the white. Everyone's white.
No, well, okay. So to really explain what that is in the order of wizards, being the white, weirdly enough, is the most powerful.
Grand wizard.
Yes.
We're going to find a lot of parallels here.
Gandalf is technically Gandalf the Grey. Oh.
I always thought it was Gandalf the Great.
No, he's the Grey. He's on his ascension to becoming white.
And is Saruman...
He hasn't gotten his white Saruman power yet.
Saruman is a man, not Cate Blanchett, right?
Right, yes. Cate Blanchett is Galadriel.
Oh, he's Agent Smith from The Matrix?
No, that's somebody else.
Oh, shit.
Saruman is the white guy, Christopher Lee, who's fighting. He's got the long hair. He's the wizard that Gandalf
when
fights.
They have
and,
a fight.
Oh, yeah, and he's in Star Wars, isn't he?
Yes.
He is?
He's Dooku. Count Dooku?
Count Dooku?
Count Dooku, yeah.
God,
I hate my life.
So... Yeah, I can help you run through the names of characters, which I think might be a fun... Because that's like the first half of this movie is just meeting everybody, really.
Yeah.
Because you build the Fellowship, which is the titular thing, the nine people that are going to go on this adventure.
Oh, wait, they're the Fellowship?
I didn't get that.
Me either.
They're the Fellowship of the Ring, yeah. That little moment when they're around like the tree stump with the ring on it and they're all fighting over who's going to go. That's that guy whose name escapes me right now. The guy who played by your Agent Smith, Hugo Weaving. He is playing. I forget that dude's name.
That's Elrond.
He's creating the Fellowship to go destroy the ring. And then that's who it is.
Yeah, and Arwen's not a part of the Fellowship, right? Or she is?
She's a smoke show. Arwen is an absolute smoke.
Arwen? No. Arwen did not do it for me. Arwen was too soft-spoken and, like, kind of fucking lame and didn't take up space. And I felt like she was just there to be pretty. I couldn't believe it. Arwen's not for me.
I was totally on the fence with that, but I recently watched this... Architectural Digest series on Hulu called Open Door, and they had an episode, which by the way I would recommend. It's like 15 minute episodes of celebrity homes. It's just fun, but they had an episode about Liv Tyler's house, which was really cool. And then she went into her attic and showed this like old sword from Lord of the Rings that she had like stacked away up there. And it was a cool, even though I didn't know anything about that, I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like, it seems really meaningful. And so watching this, I was kind of thinking about her as the actor, and that was making me like it more. But I agree that the character feels like it needs, like, something going on. Like, if you're an elf, like, give me some elf life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The elves are a little soft-spoken type of, like, you know, we're quiet, we keep to ourselves, we're magical, we live for a long time, so we don't bother with the trials and tribulations of humans. And then that's why they butt heads with dwarves, as we see Gimli and Legolas kind of butting heads, because dwarves are rough, they live in inside of caves and mountains rather than in the forest, and they're warrior-like and loud and rambunctious. So that's maybe part of what Arwen's characterization is, but she does get she will get a little cooler, don't you worry. And women in general get a little bit more to do as these movies go on.
Good. But I did like Galadriel.
Galadriel,
she was like
kind
of wild. I liked when she went evil. That made me laugh though.
Oh my god. When she went evil near the end, she was like,
yeah,
Jesus. Chill out.
They go Large March, right? It reminds me of Large March.
Everyone like loves the ring so much that it's like this, it's the creepiest thing how much everyone changes to try to get the ring. It's so dark.
Therein lies another cool part of the movie is that the ring has the power over people because it knows it knows it needs to get into hands that can do more evil shit. So that's why it's Sauron wants it so that they could do more evil shit. But that's why the hobbits, they're so good-natured by design and so not powerful that the ring doesn't control them the way... You'll see, Frodo will have to fight the power of the ring, but it doesn't hit him the way it hits everyone else in the movie, including even the other hobbits. It doesn't even hit those guys as hard because the hobbits are sort of like not... Like, even the ring is like, I'm not even gonna bother with these fucking hobbits. They can't do shit for me. And that's what's kind of cool about... And even like Gandalf kind of knows that, and that's why Frodo kind of has to go off on his own, which is kind of like a sweet sort of like, we actually do have a superpower, and it is that we're so good-natured. And I think that's like a key part.
Okay, so yeah, Gandalf attempts to flee to warn Frodo, but Saruman imprisons him. And following Sauron's orders, Saruman, dude, commands the orcs to...
It's so annoying that Sauron and Saruman are the two bad guys' names. It's so dumb.
That's so similar.
Very similar.
Yes.
They command the orcs to construct weapons of war and produce a new breed of orc fighters called the Uruk-hai, which, by the way, were those the things that were being born out of the, like, brown...
Yeah, it was
sick.
So gross. Also, their swords truly look like protractors. They didn't look deadly. They were just like sheets of metal that were kind of sharp.
Well, yeah, see, to me, that made them scarier, that they seemed like they were made from like pieces of a stove or something, right? They're like weirdly just like they just seem like big and like fucking weirdly like iron. And you're like, but yeah, they're not sharp. And then that's why you get to have fucking Legolas shooting little arrows through all them and stuff. They can't be too deadly, or else it would make no sense when our 9 heroes kill 200 of them.
Uh-huh. Legolas, aka Katy Perry's husband.
Yes.
Wait, really?
Yes.
Bloom Daddy.
I didn't know that.
They're having a baby, or they already did.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I'm learning so much new
There's
stuff.
There's a lot going on.
I have
on.
A question, though, about Gollum. He's barely in the movie.
He's barely
that's
in this
what
movie.
I was surprised by. And that's kind of like our Yoda thing. Yes. Where you're like, where is he? Like, I thought Gollum was going to be a huge part of this. And mm-hmm. at the beginning, you get a little taste of him. So I was glimpse. Like, here we go. It's going to be all about this guy. And then he just wasn't there. And he was running off into the distance.
Yeah. And then Bobo Dildo just picks up the ring from his cave. And I was like, then why did Gollum let him have it? It was confusing and also disappointing. I wanted more Gollum.
I agree. I wanted more, and I'm excited that we'll get more.
You'll get plenty more Gollum. Don't you worry.
Okay. So Frodo and Sam are soon joined by fellow hobbits, Merry and Pippin. They meet a man called Strider who agrees to lead them to Riverdale. They spend the night in a small town and are attacked by Nazgul. Strider fights them off, but Frodo is grievously wounded. While being chased, Frodo is taken by Elf Arwen to Riverdale and healed by her father, L. Ron Hubbard.
That was almost 100% correct.
Thank you.
When Frodo almost died, I was like, there's no way, right? Like, there's no way he's going to die. But then when he almost died the second time, I thought, mm-hmm. he's still going to live, but he might not. Like, I was like, this could be a thing where he gets mm-hmm. killed. And I was glad he didn't, because I really like looking into his eyes.
Dude, I sat across from him on the F train once, and I truly, like, almost drowned in Elijah Wood's eyeballs. He looked up. He is so cute in person. I mean, he's a very good looking guy, but mm-hmm. his size makes me want to say the word cute, which I know is offensive to smaller people, but he's so cute. And I sat across from him and I was like, looked up, and I just was like, I felt like he blinked, like, and it just made his eyes that much wetter and bluer. And I was like, oh, Frodo, I'll carry you.
He does have great eyes. There's a close-up of him when he's, like, walking away, and they're like, Frodo, and he turns back, and it's his big eyes, and one little tear falls. I was like, oh, boy, he is acting.
I gotta say, casting in this movie is fucking stellar.
Yeah, very good.
Everyone's really, really good.
Like, Sean Bean as Boromir is just like, yes, he seems like a hero, but there seems to be something off. Aragorn is like, he's dirty, but he's hot and a fucking hero. Legolas, cute and a hero. Gimli looks, Jonathan Rhys-Davies looks like a dwarf even without that much makeup, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they form the Fellowship. So in Riverdale, I'm just going to go with that because I like it more. Frodo is reunited with Gandalf, and L. Ron Hubbard calls a council to decide what should be done with the ring. The ring must be destroyed, and that can only be done by throwing it in the fires of Mount Doom, where it was forged. And Frodo volunteers to take the ring to Mount Doom and is accompanied by his hobbit friends Gandalf, Strider, Aragorn. Did you already read this? No, they're just repeating the names. Okay, so Legolas, the dwarf, Gimli, and Boromir, the son of the steward of Gondor. Together, they become the Fellowship of the Ring.
Hell yeah.
And then we have a bunch of battles.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The Fellowship sets out on a trying journey during which Gandalf eventually faces off with a demon and is dragged off into the abyss. The gang escapes into another elfin realm where they are sheltered before they're set out on their journey again. Boromir tries to take the ring from Frodo and fails, knowing that the ring's temptation will be too strong for him or anyone else that is in the Fellowship. Frodo decides to leave them and go to Mordor alone. The rest of the Fellowship do another battle. Merry and Pippin try to follow Frodo and end up on their own, eventually getting kidnapped. Wait, they got kidnapped?
Yeah, by the orcs.
I don't feel like I remember that either.
Me either.
Merry and Pippin sacrifice themselves to save Frodo. Remember?
Oh,
they're
at
like,
the
he's
end.
Gonna
oh, they're
like,
yeah. go, go, go.
They're like, he's gonna run. So they go over here, and then that's why you get Strider having that Aragorn Strider, whatever you want to call him, having that badass last line when he's like, "Well, that means the end." When Legolas is like, "Is that the end of the Fellowship?" He goes, "No, we owe it to Merry and Pippin to rescue him. Let's go hunting for orc." And you see like all three of those, the three most badass fighters walk off. You're fucking hyped. And the second movie is the best
you
one.
You make it sound really exciting.
You do make it sound exciting.
I have goosebumps like, talking about it. Look, I'm fucking hyped.
Oh my God.
Because the second movie is the best one. The Battle of Helm's Deep is like a fucking absolute amazing display. Well, that let me ask you guys, what did you think of the action in this movie? Did you think like the cave troll fight, the fight in the cemetery, was that appealing or cool to you guys at all? Because if not, you're gonna have a hard time with the rest of this movie.
I think we're gonna have a hard time regardless. Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah.
Part of it is how long they are. I was like, we should split these up into two episodes. Yes. This is a long movie. But then Mike was like, no, you should watch it all at once. Like, if you split it up, it's like, he did say that the extended versions were divided at that point where they start going on the journey. So I don't know if that, but whatever. I felt like the fights were good. And like really the CGI and all of the special effects were really good. So like that really helps me because I feel very distracted when stuff like that is weird or like off. But I don't really need a lot of fight scenes to like get the point. So that was part of it where I was like, I'm kind of like, I don't need to look up at this one. But like then I would miss something huge because it seemed like every time I looked away, somebody like disappeared or something.
Yes, that was so annoying. And John kept screaming at me. He was like, you have to watch. And then John was texting Mike being like, neither one of them are paying attention.
Yeah, Mike texted me last night. That's
I know. And I was really paying attention, though. Like, you need to understand, I looked at my phone like a couple times and then I would pause it. And I would pause and look at my phone for like 30 minutes. I was like, I just need to look at the phone.
It's
like,
2.5 hours long. It's completely reasonable. And it's hard,
it's
hard to
so
keep
it. 3 hours.
It's 3 hours.
It's
3 hours long. I couldn't watch it all last night. At 12:30, I had to go to sleep.
Yeah, I had to break it up.
It was putting me to sleep. It's a little like not meandering. It's like a pretty succinct journey, but like it's just so much information. I liked the fights. I thought they were fun, but that old man wizard fight, man,
that was
the best funny.
That was the best fight.
Funny, but the best fight.
Yeah. Well, it was hilarious.
This man with his laid wig that's just flowing and he's tossing Gandalf around. When I say I loved him spinning on the head, oh, it was.
He was spinning like when Homer does that thing where he's like running on his side on the floor. Mm-hmm. And he was like spinning and then he got thrown up into the sky. And it was hilarious. And I really liked Gandalf as a character. So I was very sad that he got killed.
Same. But I think he's going to be back.
That's
and
what I'm hoping.
He has to be.
I know.
So
No spoilers.
I'm not going to give you any spoilers, but that Gandalf fight, the wizard on wizard fight, you're like, oh, this is weird. But wasn't it cool when Gandalf pulls the sword out when they're fighting in the grave? And you're like, Gandalf carries a sword? And then he's got a sword and a staff and he's kind of fighting. And you're like, oh, he's pretty badass. But then when he squares off against the Balrog and saves everyone with you talk about famous lines that you may have heard out of context, like thou shall not pass or none shall pass, whatever he says.
Yes.
That's a pretty,
I didn't know that was from this. Like that feels
me
so
either.
In the world that it feels like it's from the Bible or something.
Yeah. Well, I will say for a lot of people, unfortunately, the Lord of the Rings books, what was a Bible?
Well, wait, you said something about Jesus Christ within the Lord of the Rings universe or something that's in our notes here about you. Is that a fact? Gabrus spits deep LOTR biblical references in this episode as a Christian weed dealer.
I did a different podcast called Mega, and I played a drug dealer who pretended to be Christian or whatever. But because Lord of the Rings has a lot of like, you know, people coming back to life, like a lot of that kind of one single person sacrifice will save the world, like a lot of Messiah Christianity bullshit. It's just, I think, because I think a lot of it is because Tolkien fought in World War, I don't know history, I think it was World War One, possibly World War Two, and that inspired him to write these books. Because it was like a journey through foreign land, an enemy that you didn't fully understand, the fear of life, the connection up to your fellow soldiers, and stuff like that. I think that's kind of what kicked off Tolkien's idea of this for these books. And again, before you come at me, save this shit for Reddit. I'm not going to read your fucking ads.
Yeah. He can be wrong. It's okay. I think we need to take a break, but we'll be right back with more Lord of the Rings.
The Lord. Do you want to make your mom smile? Start Mother's Day with flowers or surprise her with gifts from the brand she loves. And guess what? It's delivered with the same day with DoorDash. Get 50% off your next order of up to $15 when you spend $15 plus on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now on DoorDash. And the promo code is NEWCOMERS. Listen, moms are a gift. I know that best. So give her the best this Mother's Day. Select from hundreds of expertly crafted bouquets to the best of tech to self-care essentials delivered right to the door. Get 50% off your next order up to $15 when you spend $15 plus on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now with the code NEWCOMERS. That's NEWCOMERS. Order using DoorDash today. Terms apply. Get a Mother's Day gift as unique as she is with DoorDash.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. My social battery right now, where would I put it? Ooh, I mean, I'm kind of looking to connect with friends. I'm also looking to retreat a little bit and be by myself. It's hard to know exactly what you need at any given time. And it can be so easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up so much. After the winter, the spring is here. Well, what's the right amount of socializing for you and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I started therapy when I was about 30 and it was so, so helpful for me for learning about myself, learning about boundaries, learning about my relationships with other people and how to deal with other people. There's so many things you can benefit from therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. So just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/newcomers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/newcomers.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective, unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
We're back.
My God, that made me laugh so hard. The way your eyes got so big.
Just wanted to put some energy.
Oh my God. So, some information on Lord of the Rings. This is the first installment of the movie trilogy. It's directed by Peter Jackson, and it focuses mainly on Frodo and the ring as the backbone of the story. And it was released December 2001.
Wow.
Wait, so, and then the Two Towers was released a year after that?
That is nice after Star Wars, you know, puts a 10-year gap between these things, and you never know when it's coming. So that's cool. Okay, wait, we have a little trivia. Let's see. So Peter Jackson gave one of the rings used in the movies to Elijah Wood and Andy Serkis as a gift when the shoot was finished, and they both thought they had the only one.
Ooh.
Interesting for those two, for their those actors based on what characters they play too. That's Frodo and Gollum.
Oh, yes.
The
yes,
two
yes,
people
yes.
who like the ring the most.
Interesting. That's honestly, I like that.
It's kind of cute to trick them.
More trivia. According to Sean Atston, in the extended DVD commentary, when Biblo drops the ring before leaving Hobbiton, is that what it's called?
Hobbiton.
The floor was magnetic to prevent the ring from bouncing. This was done to demonstrate the importance and weight of the ring.
Oh, that's cool.
That's interesting.
Viggo Mortensen did his own stunts, and he also insisted on using only the real steel sword. Ooh,
seems crazy.
Instead of a significantly lighter aluminum sword or safer rubber sword, which were manufactured for battle scenes and stunts. I would not want to be in a scene with that person.
I'd be like, unsubscribe.
I have to use this metal sword. I'd be like, bro, chill the fuck. You're like,
yeah, that doesn't seem safe.
No.
Dude, how fun is it that how much weed is in this movie? Like, they're fucking smoking dope.
I didn't realize they were smoking weed. I thought he was just puffing on a pipe, like a tobacco or something.
And I think that's why this got popular in like the 60s and 70s, because there's the characters are smoking pipe weed, and like the wizards and the hobbits and wizards do it to relax and to connect. Oh. And then like bands like Led Zeppelin and like other rock bands appropriated a lot of like Lord of the Rings lingo, like. Led Zeppelin has a song called Misty Mountain Hop based on like a Lord of the Rings reference. Cause I think a lot of like, you could just picture like the kind of dude who's into guitar and weed is also into like, bro, Saruman, the evil force, you know?
Well, this is like hard for me because it feels like then I might get into this and I'm kind of scared. Because I like the things you're talking about. I feel like I probably have had a lot of these references around me without realizing it. But I'm really not. I don't see myself as being someone who likes fantasy in this way. Like,
yes.
I don't get immediately sucked in when I'm watching this. So I'm curious how it's going to go for us, because I did like certain elements, but you know, it's a huge time commitment too. Like, it feels like we have to like buckle in, like, focus. Yes. I don't know why that's so hard, but it is. Okay,
because it's so much new information for 3 hours you are bombarded with small people with their feet out and elves with their ears out and people talking to you normal, then being like, I'm all powerful, and you're like, wait,
yeah,
what?
That was good, by the way.
What did you put a filter on? What
it's
the fuck?
I thought that was do with my voice. You said it
in the back of your throat. I can do this.
Yeah, I can't do it. It sounds like you have post production.
Does it?
That's really good.
Thank you.
I'm scared and hard as a rock right now.
Yes!
Oh my God. If you win an Emmy, you have to do a video accepting the award with that voice.
Thank you so much to the Academy and everybody who believed in me.
The Academy. They're like, ma'am, this
is
the Emmys.
Oh, wait, there's no Academy? There's no Emmy Academy?
I was right there with
who
you.
Who knows? More trivia. The elfish language lines spoken in the movie are not just quotes from the book. They're derived from J.R.R. Tolkien's own limited dictionary of that language. Oh, it's a whole language. Dialect coach Andrew Jack used recordings of Tolkien reading. Is Tolkien dead?
Yes, I believe so. Oh,
dang. Rest in peace, J.J. No, T.R. Nope.
Oh, no.
J.R.R. Tolkien. Woo-wee, his books to guide the actors and actresses' pronunciations.
He was born in 1892.
Dang. Yeah.
He was born in the 19th century. His full name is John Ronald Reuel Tolkien.
Oh, all right. Okay.
We'll see if we remember.
Just to jump back to something you said briefly, you said,
yeah.
I'm concerned because like I don't really normally like fantasy, but I would say, just like if you're not a rom-com fan, but you might like When Harry Met Sally because mm-hmm. it is such the rom-com, this is like the fantasy work of both, like, you know, even this movie, even though it came out in early 2000s, is like so iconic as a fantasy series.
It does feel that way. I also felt like a lot of the orc stuff reminded me of Buffy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because the weird kind of nose bridge that they give the vampires.
And like nostrils and...
Yep.
Oh, that's cool. The other selling point I want to give you guys is, imagine Lord of the Rings is one long 9-hour movie. You just got through the first 3 hours. Just picture it.
But that's actually pretty good considering how many movies there were for Star Wars that we had to get through. This is like really manageable. Like, we can do this.
You're a third through the movie of Lord of the Rings. So the first act is over. The second act is where a lot more action and shit happens. So be hyped for the next two movies. Although I love Fellowship, it is a lot of... laying pipe, a lot of groundwork, a lot of shoe leather. And if it's all new information, it's not going to feel that interesting.
All right.
One last little bit of trivia is that the different colors of blue for the elves' eyes revealed what race they were. So the Lothlorien elves had light blue eyes and the Rivendell elves' eyes were dark blue, which I did not pick up on.
Me no, because it's so subtle, but it's like so they're subtle. White people. So within their race, they will all have blue eyes.
Just different shades of blue. And if I mean, it's actually really obvious if you start to talk to people.
And knowing white people, the people with the darker blue eyes probably hate the people with the lighter blue eyes and vice versa.
So messed up. It's so wild.
Okay. Do we think we are going to like Lord of the Rings more or less than Star Wars? I mean, this is seriously, it's a huge question. What do you think, Nicole? Like, how are you feeling?
It's weird because I did not like this movie this afternoon when I finished it. But then talking to Gabrus, I was like, oh, you know, maybe it wasn't so bad. I did get to see a lot of scenery, and I did like that old wizard fight, and every time Frodo almost died, I tee-hee-heed, and he's so tiny. I might like it. I did like the fighting scenes. Yeah, I think I might like this. I think I'll like it more than Star Wars.
That's kind of where I'm at this point. Like, I think one thing I really took away from our experience with the first season of this podcast was, like, I'm grateful that I now know all of this stuff because it kind of just checks this box in my head of, like, I get it. Like, I don't need to keep wondering or just pretending I know what's going on. I understand. So I'm kind of excited to have that same thing happen here where, like, I'll get to know everything about this. And I do think I want to like it more because already it was easier for me to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this was but I was thinking, this is a really current movie. Like, that was 2001. Like, that's not that long ago. And with Star Wars, we were starting with the oldest mm-hmm. movie, which was very slow. And it was a hard sell. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we liked some of the later ones more. It was easier for us to watch them. So maybe this will be easier in that sense too.
And this is all on land. I'm not a huge fan of space. Like, my main gripe about the movie Gravity was too much space.
Yeah, no, Gravity's not for you then.
So what is your biggest question coming out of the first movie, Nicole? Like, what do you feel like you want to understand, if anything?
I guess I want to understand how it was so easy to take down this, like, really evil fucking monster dude by just chopping his fingy off. Like, that's crazy.
That's a good question.
Yeah. So You're talking about in the history, in like the preamble of the beginning.
In the beginning where the ring... Also, why is one ring bad and the rest are okay?
Why is there even a bad ring? I felt like that was my biggest question, was like, why does this ring even exist? And also, why don't you just give it to a bad guy? Or would everything be destructed or like ruined if you did that?
I think I can answer that question because that's not stuff that is really touched on in these movies, because that's kind of like the historical shit. But watching it this time around, I picked up on way more. So it seems as though all the rings were made for everyone to control power, but unbeknownst to the elves, dwarves, and humans who got them, unbeknownst to them, there was one ring made that is the evil ring that can control them all. And so that's why Sauron is fighting with it and he's killing everyone. But because he gets his finger cut off where the ring is, and that guy who cuts his finger off is a king, so he has like some nobility or some power. I think because he cuts that finger off, that loses his power. And then they take that ring. It then eventually disappears down at the bottom of the river, which is where we'll learn that Gollum finds it and eventually has. And then that's how Bilbo gets it from Gollum. Then Bilbo passes it on to Frodo. And now Gollum has been tortured, revealed where the ring is. So the ring is coming. The ring wraiths, the Nazgul, the faceless dudes on horses, they're coming to get the ring. Because if they get the ring, then they'll have control of all the orcs and all this power, and they'll be able to just wipe out the world, more or less. And like, as you're starting to see happen around the crazy spinning wizard's castle, where they're pulling trees down, they're creating orcs, they're like evil-fying the world.
Wait, why were they doing deforestation? Was that just like being evil and like taking away trees from people?
Building weapons of war for the orcs to make arrows and carts and all this shit.
Nicole, do you feel like when he was talking, you felt like you were at a bar in 2008 being like, okay.
Yeah, definitely. I mean,
that's my entire vibe, is like cornering someone and like, screaming.
I did like, ask you, yeah, but I also but like, it's don't a lot of information. Like,
I thought it'd be a one sentence answer. Yeah.
Well, long story short, I got all three Lord of the Rings on Blu-ray. Do you guys want to come? I live nearby.
It's funny because it really did feel like I was talking to a guy that I was like, you know, if I listen long enough, he'll just fuck me and he'll be fine.
Nicole, am that guy. just keep listening, baby.
So Gabrus, you liked Erwin. You're like, she's a babe. That's who I'd smash. Lauren, who would you smash?
Oh, okay. That's a tough one because on one hand, I'm like Frodo. And then on the other hand, I need it to be one of the tall wizards. So I guess my answer... No, you know, I think my answer is Cate Blanchett. Is she a wizard?
She's an elf. But that's a good... Oh, okay. But she can do magic.
I thought she was possibly the hottest character. I don't... Legolas, I'm like, not really...
Viggo Mortensen's character is the hottest.
Oh, yeah. He was, too, because he was really a sharpshooter and, like, all that stuff. Yeah.
And now we know was fighting with a actual sword.
Yeah.
The hottest person for me was Gandalf. I truly said to John...
Yes, that was my... Oh, God,
I was like, is Gandalf a daddy? And John was like, absolutely not. And I was like, I don't know. Yeah, Gandalf is... He does it for me.
Well, how tall is a wizard?
He's only like 6 feet tall.
That's really?
Yeah, but it's because he's next to 3 foot hobbits for most of the movie.
Oh, I thought they were like 12 feet tall, which I was into.
He's kind of like Boromir and Aragorn's height, but he does have a big hat and like, but he's always shot next to the hobbits, so that's going to make him look way taller.
Okay. Well, okay, what were you going to say?
Lord of the Rings grossed $47.2 million on its opening weekend. That's crazy.
Yeah, and the world premiere was at the Odeon Leicester Square in London, and it went on to make $887.8 million worldwide.
That's wild. And JRR is dead, so he didn't see crazy. None of that.
He doesn't even know. So the
I
film,
wonder if he has like a trust where like his
grandkids... Yeah, his family has to benefit from that, right?
It's so much money.
I sure hope so. That's because Amazon just greenlit a Lord of the Rings series.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Just in time.
Yeah. And so I think there was a while where the Tolkien Trust didn't want that to happen or something.
Oh, well, it has 91% approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes. And in 2002, this film won 4 Academy Awards: Best Cinematography, Best Visual Effects, Best Makeup, and Best Original Score. I did love the music.
I like the music too, and I thought the acting was pretty good in it. I'm surprised it wasn't nominated for actors.
Oh yeah, I thought there was amazing acting in this.
I really thought what's his name? Gandalf. What's his actual name? Ian McKellen. I thought he was so good in it.
Oh, he's amazing.
He's so good.
He's amazing.
Can I ask you guys, did you guys have a favorite part? All my favorite parts are like the most like heteronormative, like badass dude with a sword walks at the orcs. You know what I mean? So did you guys have any favorite parts that when you were like, this part happened, you're like, oh, this is cool. Like, did anything stand out for you guys? Besides like the silly wizard fight, like anything that stood out is like, this is a cool moment.
When Dildo Biblo, when he morphed into evil and then like morphed back, like that scared me. Like, ooh, I jumped. I was shocked. And I liked that. I really liked being shocked.
I liked whenever anyone got evil because it was just creepy and weird. Mm-hmm. And then I liked the parts with the fireworks and the little like party at the beginning. I really liked all the stuff with Bilbo actually. And I thought it was really cute. He recently died, right?
Yes.
Like somebody on, I noticed there was something trending on Twitter about someone from Lord of the Rings.
Who else?
Bilbo. He died this year or last or like recently.
This is the joy of doing the podcast, I think, is that talking to you makes me more excited to watch the next one because you're so excited. And I do think that helps a lot.
You know, Lauren, I'm excited to watch the second one.
I am also excited. I think I feel more excitement knowing there are just three for this little segment. Yes. There's something like kind of nice. Like I think with Star Wars, there was this huge undertaking, which this still will be, like no doubt, because we have a bunch of episodes to fill. So we're going to have a lot of content. But I do feel like knowing like, okay, we can watch these three and that's like a huge amount of the whole world. We can start writing fanfic from that point. Like we're going to know what we're talking about. So that feels manageable and I'm pretty excited. And I do think the acting was really great. So like it's enjoyable and they're fairly current and that really helps.
It's well made at least. Yeah. At least it's well made on top of being, you know, whatever you say about the content, whether you like it or not, it's got talented actors. Mm-hmm. Well, it's the visual effects hold up 20 years later, which is pretty hard.
They really do. I was surprised. There was a couple times where I had to ask John if that was CGI or real. And he was like, you think that's really just in New Zealand? I was like, okay. That's
mean to me. Oh, yeah. They shot in New Zealand. I didn't realize that. I wasn't aware where they were.
So beautiful. Those big fucking wide shots are so gorgeous.
Wait, Gamers, do you have anything you want to plug?
Yes, please. Listen to my podcast, High and Mighty, which both of the hosts of Newcomers have been guests on before. And I also have a podcast called Action Boys, which is a Patreon podcast, which costs $5 a month. But if you go to the website, actionboys.biz or patreon.com/actionboys, you could listen to about 8 or so episodes for free. And maybe that'll get you hooked, or maybe that'll make you realize you're happy to keep your $5 in your pocket.
Nicole, do you have anything you want to plug?
Sure, I wrote a book. It's called Very Fat, Very Brave, and it's on sale everywhere. There's a link in my bio where you can buy it from a Black-owned bookstore. Also, if you go to Gabrus's profile, he did a wonderful promo pic.
I love that picture.
That made me laugh so hard.
My first nude photo I've posted on Instagram.
It was great.
I am so honored to be a part of it.
if anyone deserves me fucking pulling out my fucking little dick for a promo, it's you, Nicole.
Lapkus
deserves it. I wouldn't do it to her because it would creep her out too much. Nicole, I know, is completely fine with it.
Yeah, me, I squealed. It was like, look at what my friend did.
The woman that I daggered on stage at her own podcast at her request. Yeah, I
what
figured
it. What is daggering?
It's amazing.
Wait, I think I saw
it's a Jamaican dance hall move.
Oh, right.
You just like mimic power fucking somebody.
Yes.
And sometimes it's violent where you'll like push someone off a ledge.
I've seen women weaves get knocked off in the club and getting daggered.
I saw some videos of that. That's
I saw
amazing.
Guys jumping off ladders like it was wrestling into women's crotches. I've watched way too much daggering footage.
Very funny.
That's so funny.
I love it. This is a 5 Star Wars segment. I guess we'll rename it five hobbits.
Rings?
Five rings. Five ring segment. Thank you. He's just miming a ring on his finger over Zoom.
He's like, rings, five rings.
Five rings. So Jeffrey said, Lauren and Nicole are so horny. I love it. We are. We want people to kiss.
And the title of that review was Giving Me Life mm-hmm. Day.
Yes. Which is very funny, and I get it.
I love it. I get it. I love it. And I also am excited because now the reviews need to be Lord of the Rings centered. Mm-hmm. So if you can make that part of your review, we're going to love that. And we'll be back next week for the next installment of the series, The Two Towers. And we have some very special guests lined up. So we're really excited about this. And we're just starting a whole new journey. We just closed the book on Star Wars and we just opened the book on a whole new thing. And it's...
We had a wee break and now we're back into it.
We have like a couple weeks of no homework movies.
It was nice.
Yeah.
It was really nice. But you know, I'm happy to be back. I'm happy to be watching.
No, it's exciting.
Please tell your male roommates, John and Mike, that they can text me because I too will be watching The Two Towers tonight.
Good. They will love it, I'm sure. Yeah. Oh my God. Right. Well, we'll see you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was a HeadGum Original.